All right. Well, hey, everybody. I'm Mike, lead pastor here at Experience Church, and I want to welcome each and every one of you. If you're here for the first time this morning, we're in week four of our series, Radioactive, and we've been talking about five values that Jesus taught that really can change our lives, but not just our lives, but the lives of those, everyone around us, everyone we come in contact with. That radioactivity is a kind of thing that kind of spills out onto everything and affects and infects everything. And there are things in our life that can do the very same thing. We started out this series and we were talking about acceptance and what that meant. And we looked at some stories that Jesus told about a lost sheep that had run away and about a woman who had lost a coin and how she searched and looked for it. And really the lesson from that was that there are people. In fact, all people matter. People matter to Jesus, and they should matter to us. Second week, we talked about love, and we looked at a greedy farmer, a guy who thought all about getting, and so he never thought about giving. And really, when we're consumed with getting, we don't ever give, and it's in giving that love shows. Last week, we talked about grace, that amazing thing that is getting what you don't deserve instead of getting what you do deserve. We took a look at a guy who helped his arch enemy who was near death, and the guy stepped in and did something for him that he had only hoped somebody would do for him if he was in the same situation. Now, if you missed any of those first 3 weeks, I highly encourage you to go online to either our Facebook page, facebook.com/experiencechurch, or go to experiencethechurch.com, and you can download those messages. You can listen to them back during the week and get all caught up. Today, we're going to talk about another one of these five values, and I'm super excited to get going on it. But before we do, will you guys bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to look at the words that you have left for us and the wisdom that you've left behind. And God, I pray that we would have soft hearts, that we would have open ears, that we would receive what it is that you have for us today, and that no one would leave this room the same as they walked in. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, have you ever done anything that you wish you wouldn't have? You ever done something that you wish you could take back? Yeah? Whatever it was, do you wish that there was a reset button that you could hit and get a second chance, another time to do it over again? Well, today we're going to take a look at a story about a young man who really, really messed up, who made some really bad choices in life. But he got a second chance. We've been taking a look at a group of stories in the Gospel of Luke, the book of Luke. It's one of the four accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible, in the New Testament, the last 30-year Bible or so. There's four, the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call the Gospels, and that means good news. That's the news about Jesus. And there are four different ways to look at those stories. We've been looking primarily at stories that Jesus told in the book of Luke. And today we're looking in chapter 15, starting out in verse 11. And it goes like this. Jesus said, "There once was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.'" I started reading that and I had to kind of chuckle. I got nine kids at home still. And I'm telling you what, one of my kids comes up to me and says, "I want what's coming to me." I'm going to go, "I'll give you what's coming to you." Yeah? Huh? Okay, so I don't know if any other parents feel that way or not, but occasionally it's like, really? So pick it up in verse 12. "So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed up his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all of his money, a bad famine came all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop pigs. He was so hungry that he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any." Now, while that in and of itself is like, wow, I'm so hungry I'm going to eat pig slop, there's another aspect of this, and that is that in the Jewish culture, pigs were like the lowest thing on the face of the planet, and to go anywhere near them was a nasty deal. Pigs weren't fit for sacrificing. Pigs weren't fit to eat. Pigs were considered unclean in the Jewish religious heritage, okay? And so if you came in contact with pigs, you had to get separated from everybody else, and you had to get spiritually and physically cleaned up before you could come back together with everybody. Pigs were nasty business. So this is how far to the bottom this guy is, right? He's out slopping pigs. Verse 17 says, that brought him to his senses. He said, all those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. So he got up and went home to his father. He realized that he'd made a mistake, okay? He's spent all of his money. He's hanging out. He's got nothing to eat. He's gone to the point where he is willing to feed swine just to get by. And he's looking at the pig food like it's good. For everybody, their bottom is a little different place. But this guy has reached his, all right? And so he's like, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to beg my dad to just make me one of his servants, because even that is better than this. Verse 20 says, when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced, and kissed him. The son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants. Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to have a feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. I'm reading this and I'm like, what? Really? Why would a father do that? That's not going to teach that kid a lesson. I mean, how is he ever going to learn, right? I mean, he just takes everything he's got. He goes out and spends it all. That's not what a disobedient, reckless child deserves, is it? But that's exactly the point. You see, his father could have sent him away. He could have told him, you made your choice. Now live with it. He could have told him how stupid he was. He could have ran him down. He could have pointed out that he smelled like pigs. He could have told him what an idiot he was for spending all of his inheritance. But that's not how it went. He could have rubbed his face in it, held him down, said, see, you thought you knew it all. You thought you had this all going on. You thought I was stupid. But that's not how it went. He could have said, you made your bed. Go lay in it. He could have turned him away. But that's not how it went. Instead, the father greeted his son. With open arms, he ran to meet him. He threw himself upon him. He greeted him as if he'd been gone and returned from war. He was happy to see him. He brought him back into the family. He put the family signature ring on him. He put sandals on him. What did that mean? Sandals were for family. Servants didn't get shoes. The father showed grace. He gave his son what he didn't deserve. He welcomed him home. He threw a giant party. He showered him with love and acceptance. He forgave his son. He forgave his son. But that's not the end of the story. Pick up in verse 25, and it says, all this time, the older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in. As he approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. Calling over to one of the houseboys, he asked what was going on. He told him, your brother has come home. Your father has ordered a feast. Barbecued beef. Because he is home, safe and sound. The older brother stalked off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, look, how many years have I stayed here serving you, never giving you one moment of grief, but have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then this son of yours, who has thrown away all of your money on whores, shows up and you go all out with a feast. His father said, son, don't you understand? You're with me all the time, and everything that is mine is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. This brother of yours, he was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. Now, you see, the older brother wasn't excited about his brother's return. He was bitter. He was angry. He was upset. He was being selfish. His brother could have been dead, but he didn't care. All he could think about was the fact that his father's given his younger brother a party now, and he never got any. He's looking at him going, I followed all the rules. I followed all the rules. I never did anything to let you down. And here you are forgiving this rotten son who ran away and did nothing. You're accepting him back home like everything's okay. How can you do that? The older brother couldn't see anything but what he'd done, what his brother had done. And he was angry. And he was looking at that and saying, he doesn't deserve anything. Why would you give him something? And not only did you give him something, but you gave him everything. You ever been there? You ever wondered why God would give something to someone else and not you? Why he would bless someone with money or a job or a spouse or kids or stuff, cars, boats, trucks, whatever. And you're sitting here going, well, what about me? What about me? That's what's going on here. That's what this older brother's looking at and going, my brother got everything. And then he let it all go away. And he comes back and he still has everything. What's up with that? And so he's got these feelings of anger and that he deserves something more. And that's keeping him from forgiving his brother. Those feelings of feeling sorry for himself are keeping him a slave in his unforgiveness. Now, we've talked about this before, but if you haven't heard it before, when we don't forgive somebody in our life, when we choose to stay angry with somebody and not forgive them, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It doesn't work that way. Unforgiveness only eats at us. When we don't forgive, we start to pile up all of these hurts behind us. And we hang on to them. And we start to clip them onto us like links in a chain. And so the first time we get hurt, we clip one on. And we've got that anger against this person. And then somebody else hurts us, and so we clip that person to that one. And then somebody does it again, and we clip another one. And somebody does it again, and we've got another one on there, and another one on there, and another one. Pretty soon we're dragging around this huge chain of people that we've got, that they have offended us somewhere. And we're holding unforgiveness. We're saying, there's no way I'm letting that person off the hook. In fact, if I ever get the chance, I'll get back at them. And then we hang out with those people. We drag them along with us. We drag them into bed at night with us. We drag them into the shower in the morning. We drag them to work with us. We drag them into the car. How many can you fit in there? We drag them all throughout our day. And the funny thing is we get pretty good at hiding it. Oh, there's nothing following me. There's nothing behind me. We can hide this huge chain of people that we're hiding from our friends and our family until something sets us off, until something reminds us, until something digs in a little bit. And then all of a sudden, all of that crud boils up out of us and we lash out at somebody else and things start to get ugly. And then we push it back down and we hide those folks again and we carry them around. And it weighs us down because the chains of unforgiveness are heavy. So as you sit here today and you listen, think about how long is your chain? How long is your chain of unforgiveness? When you don't forgive, you're the one who's imprisoned. You're the one who's held down. You're the one who can't break free. Forgiving someone doesn't mean that it's okay what they did, okay? I can't be clear enough about that. Forgiving someone is not giving them permission to go ahead and do that again. Forgiving someone is setting you free. Is saying, I'm done with this. I forgive you. This is God's deal to deal with you. It's not mine to deal with anymore. And you see, here's the deal. You guys can never have any impact. We can never have any impact on those around us, if we're walking around chained to everyone who has ever hurt us in the past. The only way to move forward is to let go. And now, I know that's not easy. I know it's not easy when you've been hurt. Now, you might have been teased. You might have been hurt or abused or molested or raped. You may have been lied to or cheated on, forgotten about, left behind. Somebody might be trying to take you down. Somebody might be talking smack about you behind your back, gossiping about you. Somebody may be trying to ruin your reputation or trying to provoke you to get you to respond. But being angry with them and not forgiving them only binds you up. In the story that Jesus was telling there, he was trying to explain how God looks at each and every one of us and how he wants us to treat each other. Because that's how he treats us. You see, he looks at us and says, I've forgiven you. You need to forgive. And forgiveness needs to be part of our daily life. It's not like we get to do that one time and then walk away from it, because sure enough, something will come up again and somebody will offend us again, somebody will hurt us, and we are going to need to forgive again. If we are ever going to make a difference in our marriages, in our families, in our relationships, in our friendships, we have got to be a church full of forgiving people. If it was important enough for Jesus to die for, then it's got to be important enough for us as a church to hold as a value and hold it tightly. Because we can change the world by choosing to forgive others. We will choose to forgive. Because that's what Jesus would want. We'll choose to forgive others no matter what. Because, you know what? That's not normal. That's what everybody else does. But it's only that that will set us free. It's only that that will make a difference in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this, be kind and loving to each other and forgive each other as God forgave you in Christ. See, that's where it all starts. It all starts with the forgiveness that Christ has given us, the free gift. And then we need to learn how to forgive others. We need to learn to let go. We need to learn, or we'll never become what God has created us to be. And the truth is that hurting people hurt people. What if someone in your life is just one I forgive you away from an amazing change? What if some angry, hurtful person just needs to be forgiven? Needs to be given one more chance to change. What if that action sets off a chain reaction and changes everything? Would that be crazy? Would that just be ridiculous? Maybe you say that's impossible. Here's the interesting thing. Impossible? That's what people said about me. Impossible? That's what people said about this kind of church. Impossible? That's what people said about this movement. Impossible? That's what God laughs at. Because nothing is impossible for our God. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 tells us exactly that. For nothing is impossible with God. There is nothing that he can't do. There is nothing that he can't save. There is no one he can't redeem. There is nothing he can't fix. There is nothing he can't resurrect. Our God is the God of the impossible. Our God is the God of second chances. And third, and fourth, and 53rd, and 553rd. And Jesus wants us to understand how much God loves us and how he waits for us. Like that father was waiting for his son to return. We're that child. We're the child who has squandered everything good. And if we just come back, he'll be waiting there for us with open arms. Now, when we talk about a father, some of you guys have a horrible image of what a father is. Maybe you have no image of a father because you never had one. But I got to have you get past the picture of whatever it is that you draw as a conclusion to what a father is. Because what God does is what a father does. What the man in that story did is what a father does. God is the Father in that story, and he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come home. He's waiting for you with balloons and streamers and a big stinking barbecue. He's waiting to throw a party because it's a big deal to him when we come home. Now, I've shared the story a few times with you guys, different parts of my life, and the fact that I wasn't a very nice person when I was younger. I wasn't a Christ follower. I made fun of people who were. I damaged a lot of lives in my path. And a few years ago, shortly after I moved to town here, I had one of those mystery Facebook contacts. You know, those blasts from the past? Anybody ever had one of those? Hey, you remember me? Guy I had gone to school with actually was a friend of mine all through high school. That friendship ended one day when he had called me out for doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing, and I was mad about it. And I found out about it, and I wanted to let him know that I was upset, and so I walked into his apartment and pushed the door open and came walking over to him, and without saying a word to him, dropped him on the floor. Yelled at him a little bit, turned around and walked out. It was the last contact I ever had with him for 20 plus years. And as life went on, I would think about him once in a while, and I didn't know where he was, and I didn't look too hard to find him, and I knew what I had done, and I was thankful that my life had changed, and I had been forgiven. It didn't change what I had done, but I knew I'd been forgiven. And so he contacts me, and he says, "Hey, I'm in the area. You want to grab lunch?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." "Well, I heard you're starting a new church there." I said, "Okay." And so we met at a restaurant in town, and I came walking in and kind of sheepishly said hi, and he walked over and gave me a hug and said, "How you doing?" And we caught up a little bit, and we sat down at the table, and I looked at him, and I said, "You know, I never said I was sorry for what I did, and I know I ruined a friendship. And I know that had to have hurt, that we had a friendship that was for years, and it just disappeared. It was gone forever, and that had to make you think that it didn't mean much." And he looks at me, and he smiles, and he goes, "It's okay. I forgave you a long time ago." And I looked at that, and it was like, wow. You know, it's easy to sit around and talk about the time when we've forgiven somebody and how neat that is. But to have somebody who you've done damage to in some way come up to you and say, "You know what? I let go of that a long time ago. You were carrying that way more than me." He had set himself free. And then many years later set me free. And that was a really awesome thing to do. The neat thing there is that forgiveness is a very, very powerful thing. And there are times in your life where you have offenses against others, and you can't ask forgiveness personally because it'll destroy something else. And there are people in your life who are gone, and you're never going to get the chance to forgive or ask to be forgiven by. But you know what? It doesn't mean that you can't bring that to God and say, "I'm sorry for this, and set me free." Forgiveness is something that spills out onto everyone. And I look at this and say, what if we were radioactive with forgiveness? What if that was the thing that spilled out of us onto everyone? What if that began to spread? How would that change everything in our lives? How would that change the people around us? Just like the father in this story, this church would be a church of second chances. How amazing is that, huh? A church that opens its arms to everyone that walks through the door. Because we know that our God is a God of second chances. You see, it doesn't matter how far you've gone or how long you've been there or what you've been doing or who you've been doing it with or who you've been doing it to. Our God is a God who will give you another chance. It doesn't matter where you're at today or whether you think that you can't be saved. It's not true. God's not done with any of us yet. It doesn't matter. He's not finished until we leave this earth. Whether you believe you can change or not, God believes in you. He knows you. And if you get nothing else out of this talk this morning, I want you to know this, that You can never give up on God because He has never given up on you. He created you. He designed you with a purpose. He fashioned you. He thought you up. He made you exactly the way you're supposed to be. And He knows exactly what it is that you're to accomplish on this earth. And as long as you are still breathing, you are nowhere near becoming all that He has created you to be. He loves each and every one of us more than you could ever understand. In John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says it like this. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go through all of the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger at each and every one of us, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. God isn't shaking His finger at you. He's not going to tell you it's about time you came to your senses. He's not going to rub your face in everything you've done. He's not standing behind you waiting to smack you in the back of the head. He's waiting for you to come to Him. He's waiting for you to come home. He's waiting for you to receive the gift that Jesus came to give. He's waiting for each and every one of us to recognize that there is nothing that we can do to be good enough to earn God's favor, that we can't do enough good things, we can't be good enough people, we can't say, well, you know, the good in my life outweighed the bad, and so God will accept me for that. Because, see, none of that makes us acceptable to God. The only thing that makes us acceptable to God is the sacrifice that Christ made. Jesus stood in our place. He took the punishment that we deserve. We need Jesus. We need Him to cover what we can't. We need Him to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He was whipped and beaten. He was spit on and ridiculed. He was mocked and teased, and He was hung on a cross to die a horrible death. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 34, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, this is what He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Jesus forgave. He died so that we could experience forgiveness. He rose again so that we would have hope in a life to come, and that we would experience forgiveness like no one else has ever given. Now, I know that there are some of you here this morning who are like, blah, 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 Jesus, yeah, whatever. I want you to know that we're happy that you're here, that this is a safe place to come, that it's okay to doubt, it's okay to ask questions, it's okay to be unsure. We want you to keep hanging out and keep asking questions. We want you to know this amazing person that Jesus is. Now, some of you here today have lived your entire life, and you've been trying to get things right and do enough good and keep the scales in balance. I did a little more good today than bad, and so I think I'm okay. But that's not it. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're tired of things going the same way over and over again, and you just can't seem to get beyond life the way it is, maybe it's because you've never received that forgiveness. Maybe it's because you've never said, I believe that this is all that I need. Maybe you're still trying to do this all on your own. And if that's the case, then how about you change that today? How about you change that? How about you lay it all down? How about you stop trying to do things on your own and let someone else do it for you? If that's you this morning, I'd just like everybody in the room to bow their heads for a minute. And if that's you this morning, you've been trying to do this on your own, and you have never received that forgiveness, you've never said, I believe that Jesus' death is enough. Now, I want you to pray with me right now in your chair, nothing weird. You can pray quietly to yourself. God hears your heart. Pray with me, Jesus, I've messed up. I am a sinner. I have screwed this up. And there's nothing that I can do to be good enough to get right with God, but I believe that your death and resurrection is enough to cover that all up for me, is enough to make me new. And I don't know how that works, but I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you. I want to change how things are. I want you to change me from the inside out. Make me new. Make my life count, I pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed with me this morning, first of all, welcome to the family of God. That is a big deal. Second of all, flip that program over on the backside of your connection card. Check the box that says, I prayed that I believe that Jesus is enough for the first time today. I made a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, on your way out of here, stop by the Experience More table downstairs. Say, I prayed with Mike. We've got a gift for you, and it'll answer some of those questions for you. Okay, I prayed. So what? Now what? Well, the prayer doesn't do anything because, see, it's all about what Jesus has already done. Now, there's some of you here this morning who say, you know what, though? I believe in Jesus already. I've been forgiven. I consider myself a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. So I want to ask you this question this morning. If everyone forgave like you do, what would marriages look like? Would people be stronger together? Would there be no separations? Would the divorce rate go down? If everyone forgave like you, what would families look like? Would kids grow up knowing forgiveness, what it feels like to be forgiven because it's what they've been shown in their home? If everyone forgave like you, what would this church look like? Would we be growing? Would people be coming because they've heard about a place that's different? Where people don't just do church, but actually live what they say they believe? Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, bear with each other and forgive each other. If someone does wrong to you, forgive that person because the Lord forgave you. If you're a Christ follower, then you got to forgive others. You got to focus on God and let go of bitterness and anger. You got to focus on what Jesus has done and say, I'm going to forgive instead of be resentful and angry and seek revenge. Because if you don't do that, you will never influence the world and become the person that God has created you to be. You ever wonder what this life is all about? Why you're here? You'll never find out if you don't let go and follow what Jesus has in store for us. Now, each week around here, we do something called a weekly challenge. We do that because at Experience, we exist to expose people to Jesus wherever they're at and excite them to move a step closer. Now, I can't be clear enough about this, that it's not about something that you do that gets you right with God. It's all about what Jesus has already done. But if you want a relationship with anybody in life, you've got to spend time with them. You've got to work at it. It doesn't just happen. Any of you who are married know that for a fact, huh? I mean, that just doesn't happen. It takes hard work to maintain a relationship. Well, our relationship with Jesus is no different. We've got to maintain that. We've got to learn more about Him. We've got to spend time with Him. We've got to talk to Him. We've got to listen. And in that comes relationship. And so this week, I want to challenge you guys, each and every one of you. I want to challenge you, first of all, to forgive others. It's time to cut the chains that are holding you down. It's time to cut all those people loose and pray for the people that you need to forgive. Pray for people that you need forgiveness from. And ask God to help you. Give you a heart to forgive others. And then, I want you to think about this. Who in that story that we talked about this morning represents your life? I mean, is it the young son who needs to apologize and ask forgiveness? Or are you like the father and you need to forgive someone who's hurt you, who's done you wrong, who's done something incredibly stupid in your eyes and you just need to forgive them and start over? Or are you like the older brother and you need to let go of bitterness and anger and resentment that you've been holding on to for your entire life? Whatever it is that you need to do, I challenge you, do that this week. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says this, I say this because I know what I am planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. Jesus wants His forgiveness to change each and every single one of us. He wants it to change the lives around us. He wants us to stop walking around broken and hurting and hurting others, unable to get beyond the past. God has a future for each and every one of us. But we can't move forward until we're willing to let go of what's behind us. You can't change the past. You can't change what happened to you this morning before you got here. So why hang on to it? Why not move forward? Move forward and help God change the world through us. Because if we seek Him, He'll use us to change everything around us. Will you guys pray with me? Father God, I pray that we would be a church that forgives as you do. Lord, I pray that if there's unforgiveness in this room this morning, that you would give us the strength to let go of those who have hurt us. God, that we would reflect your love, your grace, your acceptance in everything we do. And that would all start with us turning to you, Jesus, for your forgiveness first. I pray that this church would be full of people who are willing to get beyond themselves and allow you to use them to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.